hand the meeting over now to our young people, to Keith, who will continue with the meeting.
So, a warm welcome to all of you. We would like to have a dear brother who will share the word first, Suresh. He's my partner in rhyme and rhythm. He's a wonderful brother in the faith, and he's blessed us many times on Sundays as well as Wednesdays. And so over to Suresh to share God's word with us.
Brothers and sisters, I'd like us to turn our attention once again to this verse that we have above us, that we've been thinking about this month. It tells us how we can be overflowing with gratitude, steady, established in a position where we are overflowing with gratitude. So I'd like to read verses 6 and 7. You have verse 7 there. Let's just read the whole thing. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So Christ Jesus the Lord is the center of the verse, as He should be in our lives and in the church. We must walk in Him and be built up in Him. In order to help us progress that way, I want to focus today on the words, just as you were instructed. It says, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. I want to look at those words, just as you were instructed. What does that mean? And I'd like to look at three questions in this regard. One is, what does it mean to be instructed? Okay, what does it mean to be instructed? Secondly, how is it that in this church, how have we been instructed in this church? And thirdly, what's the connection between being instructed and overflowing with gratitude? Okay, so I'll start with the question, what does it mean to be instructed? What does it mean in the Bible? When we say instruction, we can mean it in different words, different senses. When it says we have been instructed, just as you have been instructed in the Bible, what does that mean? So we look at Jesus. You know, he's the one who reveals things to us, reveals questions to us when we have questions like this. We can look at John chapter 13, verses 12 onwards, 12 to 17. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. So when he had washed their feet, verse 12, and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Okay, I want to pause here and look at this question. Do you know what I have done to you? Or do you know what I have done for you? That's a wonderful question for us to meditate on. I don't know if any of us, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and maybe some of us have been wondering, or maybe just in a corner of our mind, you know, we've been thinking, why are we spending a whole month, you know, thanking God, thanking the church? Is this like, you know, they have these brainwashing programs, propaganda campaigns. You have these, you know, totalitarian governments, and every day, night, you'll hear the same message, like, you know, communism is good, or this great leader, he's so great, you know, same message again and again and again. So, just in case we have any conspiracy theories like that, we have to face Jesus asking us this question. Do you know what I have done for you? Brothers and sisters, I hope you know, anybody who has these thoughts, my mouth was shut when I heard that question. I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know as I ought to know. And I want you to show me, I want you to teach me, I want you to instruct me. So that's the context. Do you know what I have done to you? And done to you, do you know what I have done for you? Then Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. So from this I can learn about how Jesus teaches me. Okay. Firstly, He is not just a teacher. He is teacher and Lord. He is Lord and teacher. As the song sings, he is Lord, he is Lord. He's risen from the dead and he is Lord. As we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so we must walk in him. He has authority over us. There's a difference in getting instruction from a teacher and getting instruction from Lord, the Lord. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. He's Lord. So that's number one. Secondly, it says here, he gave me an example. He says, I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. I gave you an example. And Jesus is not telling us to do anything. There's a difference between being instructed when you've been given an example. Jesus is not telling us to do anything that he hasn't done for us. He's gone that way and he says, just as I did it, you do it as well. Praise God. I gave you an example that you should also do just as I did to you. That's what he tells us. Thirdly, he said these things after washing the feet of the disciples. Okay? So this is Lord and Master, King of the universe, the one who spoke and created all things. And he became as a servant for me. He poured out his life for me. And he says, wash one another's feet. That is what it means to be instructed by Jesus. He became as a servant for me, and he's the one who instructs me. So let me go over those points, three points again. Jesus is Lord, he instructs us as Lord. Secondly, he did and then he taught. He set an example for us. Thirdly, he washed my feet. He cleaned up my life. My life was a total mess. He cleaned it up. He did the dirty job. And he said, do this for one another. I gave up my life for you. Do this for one another. This is Jesus instructing me. This is what it means to be instructed. Two more things about Jesus and how he instructed me. In John chapter 7 verse 6. John chapter 7 verse 16. So, Jesus said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true and there is no unrighteousness in him. So Jesus is telling us that the things that I am telling you, the things that you hear from me, are not things I feel like telling you or my own bright ideas. No, I am telling you what God the Father has sent me to tell you. I am telling you what he wants me to tell you. That's what I'm telling you. And I'm not seeking my own glory. There's nothing in this for me, but I want to glorify him, the one who sent me. Praise God. So that's what it means to be instructed. Okay? Five things. To be under the authority of Jesus as Lord. To follow the example of Jesus. Not just his teaching, his example. To serve others as he served us. Not to do my own will, but his. Because he didn't do his own will. He did the will of the Father who sent him. He taught me what the Father told him to teach. Lastly, never to seek my own glory, but to seek the glory of God just as Jesus did. Okay? So, this is what it means to be instructed, you know, as I've seen it. Now, I want to come to the second question. And it's a question that all of us can think about. How have we been instructed in this church? And we've had opportunities, and we get opportunities later in this meeting also to hear about that, how we have been instructed in the church. But in the context of what we just heard, I want to ask you some questions. You can consider these questions for yourselves. Have I seen examples in the church that I can follow? Not just teaching, but in every area, those who have gone ahead of me and said, follow me as I follow Christ. Have I seen that? Have you seen that, brothers and sisters? Question number one. Question two. Have you seen those who selflessly sacrificed and poured out their lives to serve us? Who did the dirty jobs, whatever it was, day after day, year after year, silently for our sake? Have you seen that? Thirdly, have you been taught the word of God according to what is on God's heart, not some man's bright idea, but the Father's word, the word of the Father that builds us up, feeds us, encourages us, strengthens us, meets our need. Have you received that in the church, brothers and sisters? Lastly, have we seen men, women who are seeking to glorify God and draw us to Him in all that they do? Not seeking their own glory, but seeking glory of God, to draw us to Him in all that they do, not to draw us to themselves. Brothers and sisters, how much can I say about this? But for me, these are simple, undisputable facts. The question is, the answer to all these questions is simply yes. And I see in this the expression, the outpouring of God's great love for me. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "We proclaim Him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power which mightily works within me." And this is what we've received in the church, brothers and sisters. We've seen Jesus. Jesus has been proclaimed, and we have been taught with all wisdom so that each of us should grow in Him and be complete in Him. Should we not be grateful? Should we not be overflowing with gratitude? For those of us who have not received this or have stopped receiving this or are not receiving in the fullness, and I feel, you know, there is so much more that God wants me to receive of this, but there's no good reason I should lose out on this blessing. This is something that God has for us. In His love, He's placed us here. And we have to think about what's stopping us from partaking of more of what God wants to give us through His church. Okay, I just want to stop at this time and compare. So I had mentioned, you know, what it is to be instructed. I had mentioned how we have been instructed in this church, okay? In relation to what it is to be instructed, I said five things. In relation to how we've been instructed in this church, I said four things. So one of them is missing. I want you to catch that, okay? So I'll go over the other four. Jesus is our example, and we have seen examples in the church. Secondly, Jesus became a servant. We have servants in the church who have served us. Jesus taught only what the Father told Him to. In the same way, we've heard the word of God, not men's ideas. Jesus never sought His own glory, but God's glory, and so have the elders and others in this church. Okay, now there's one point I missed. Who can tell me what it is? One important point. How we have been instructed. What it means to be instructed. Okay? Okay, the reason I left it out, and I'm doing all of this, is because I want to emphasize it. Point number one is that Jesus is Lord. He's not just teacher, He's Lord. Okay? And I feel, I mean, the reason I set it up like this is so that I believe we can lose out on point 2, 3, 4, and 5 if we don't understand what it means that Jesus is Lord in relation to the church. Yes, Jesus is our example. We've seen examples. He served us. We've been served. He didn't seek His glory. The elders don't seek their glory. Yeah, and we've been taught the word of God from the Father. But what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? And that's what we need to think about. Yeah, I am under His authority. And what does that mean in relation to the church? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. "We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction." Have charge over you in the Lord. And it says that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Those who have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Jesus is Lord. He has authority over us. Amen. I mean, all of us will agree to that. But what that means for us in the church is that there are those who have charge over us in the Lord. And what a privilege and protection it is, brothers and sisters. It says, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. As this word says, as you have received Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. That means that we have those who have charge over us in the Lord and give us instruction. It means that we are under authority. Just as you are instructed means that we are under authority in the church. And we are accountable to those who have charge over us in the Lord. Should we not esteem them very highly in love? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Let them give an account for you with joy, not with grief. If we don't obey this commandment, it will be unprofitable for us. We will be wasting our life, wasting the glorious opportunity God has to receive a blessing that He wants to give us and pour out on us as a part of His church. Yeah, I believe one of the reasons the elders have been emphasizing commitment is because they don't want it to be unprofitable for you and me. God may be saying in His love to you and me that in my love and wisdom I appointed authorities who would have charge over you in the Lord, but you would not submit, you would not obey. So what does it mean to submit and obey in relation to instruction? Okay? See, if I submit to a doctor's treatment, that means I contact him, I get in touch, I fix an appointment so that I can have a diagnosis. I follow the treatment, whatever he prescribes, you know, I follow it. I come back as often as required. I do a checkup occasionally. If I or somebody in my family is seriously sick, I'm not going to say, oh, he's very busy, I'm not going to disturb him. He's got more important patients than I do. None of us will do that. It depends. I mean, if you take your serious sickness, your disease sickness seriously, you're not going to do that. If you have confidence in the doctor, you're not going to do that. Here's another example. If my child is not doing well in school, you know, what would we do? We'd fix an appointment, meet with the teacher, find out what the problem is, and take it very seriously. Yeah, we take these things seriously. Should we not take our life in the Lord seriously? Should we not submit and obey? Because it says, let them give an account for you with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable. So we come to the last question. What is the connection between being instructed and overflowing with gratitude? Okay? Now, if I turn back to the story where Jesus asked, do you know what I did for you? In verse 17, at the end of all this, he says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And it isn't enough for me to know in my head that this is what Jesus did for me. Because the blessing is if I do them, if I follow His example. And when I see what God has done for me through His church, you know, if I'm truly grateful from the heart, if I say, do I know? Yes, yes, Lord, I know what You have done for me. And that will result in me doing what He has told me to do. And then I reap the blessing. So it's a cycle of blessing that I can, you know, bless and be blessed. What has Jesus told us to do? Wash one another's feet. Love one another as I have loved you. This is the path of progress. This is the path where I can be overflowing with gratitude. As I seek to bless others because of what Jesus has done for me, He blesses me even more. What a wonderful life this is. This is making progress on the road to gratitude. What happens if I step off the road? How do I make sure of the way? How do I know I am on the road? Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. Okay? So, suppose I hear my own thoughts, my own ideas, or somebody else speaking to me, how can I know that this is truly from God? And Jesus says, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know. So, I need to just settle this question. Lord, am I just wanting, seeking to do Your will? Is that uppermost for me? And if I ask that question, then I will know whether God is speaking to me or not. And yeah, when I see that, you know, I have done something else, I've gone off the road, I can go back to Him in repentance and faith. This, you know, picture of taking up the cross and following Jesus, seeing what He did for me. And let Your will be done in my life, Lord, whatever the cost. So I can say that there are two roads we've heard about in this church, brothers and sisters, that we must walk. There are two roads. As you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. Means walking on both the roads, daily, all the days of my life. One is the highway of holiness that we heard about last Sunday. Okay? From Isaiah 35. The other is the way of the cross. Or the Calvary Road. It's spoken of in Luke 9:23. There are many other verses where Jesus says, If anyone wants to follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. Let's look at both of these roads. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 8. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. I mean, I really thought the translation there was edifying. It says, a highway shall be there. It shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yes, the simple ones and fools shall not err in it, shall not make a mistake there or lose their way. No lion, no ravenous beast shall be there. The redeemed shall walk on it. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This highway is the one where we travel together. This is the body of Christ where we are walking together, and Jesus is leading us in victory with songs of triumph. It's a picture of the glorious fellowship we have in the church, the joy and protection it gives us. It says, the redeemed shall walk on it, those who have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Yeah, brothers and sisters, I have tasted of this joy and protection. And it really encourages me that it says they're wayfaring men, okay? Those who know that they want to go to Zion, that's the only criterion. Yeah, I'm not seeking the kingdoms of this world. I'm heading to Zion. I'm a traveler, I'm a pilgrim. The wayfaring men, even if they're fools, even if they're simple. This is such an encouragement for me, brothers and sisters, because I've seen it in my own life. As long as my direction is set, as long as I want to be on this highway of holiness, even if I'm a fool, I shall not err. I shall not make a mistake. I can walk in this way. Praise God. Praise God. I have seen this, that there is a love that covers up a multitude of sins, and there's acceptance and protection. It says, no ravenous beast shall come on this road. There aren't any wolves. There isn't anybody seeking to manipulate you or extort, you know, things from you, exploit you. And there is abundant joy. There is a song of praise on our lips. And we continue in this march, victory march. But notice that it says the unclean will not travel on it. Okay? So if I have a bad conscience, if I'm holding on to some unconfessed sin, if I'm proud, if I'm seeking my own, if I want to go not to Zion but to some other place, I can fall off the road or slide off the road. Brothers and sisters, this may happen to us. But what happens when that happens, if that happens? If that happens, let me say, as John says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And there is a road back. It's a narrow road. That's a road we have to walk alone. But we see Jesus. He took up his cross. He died for my sins. I must go back to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to live for you. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy. I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. That is what gives us an overflow of gratitude once again, that Jesus forgives me. He took the price. He paid the price. And I can come back to this road. Let me not hesitate. Let me get up and be broken. Come back to this road, the highway of holiness, where I can see him walking, leading us in triumph, the resurrection life. So, brothers and sisters, yeah, these are the two big things that I really feel I have been instructed, I have received from this church. I want to cling on to. Take up my cross daily. Follow Jesus. Love the brothers and sisters. Love the church. As we walk together, walk this journey together, you know, our feet can get dusty, right? Wash each other's feet. Encourage each other in love. Say, yeah, it says in Isaiah chapter 35 verse 3, encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come. God is in our midst. He has an answer. There's no reason. If your feet get dusty, we can wash each other's feet. And even if we fall off, we can say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me from head to foot. Cleanse me. I fell in the muck again, but you're able to bring me back to that path of progress where I can march on to Zion, seek your kingdom. God help us. Amen.
We have another brother who has blessed us many times on Wednesdays as well as Sundays. He's a part of the youth team. He's a part of Sunday school as well. So I would like to invite Bhagiraj to come and share God's word with us also.
praise God for what we heard. I want to continue on what we heard. That's on my heart. I would like to read from Philippians chapter 1. Here, Paul says to the Philippian church that, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." He says for the Philippian church, "For I am confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." And he says in verse 7, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart." If you ask Paul, Apostle Paul, he builded many churches and he established and he went around. He struggled and toiled for the gospel. If you go and ask him, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of doing that? What is the purpose of instructing and struggling and doing all kind of things? Like we read in Colossians chapter 2. The purpose, the goal is to... Colossians chapter 2 verse... Colossians chapter 2 from verse 5 it says, "For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see you, see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ." In verse 6 it says, "Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you are instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." If you ask Paul, that is what he will say, that I want to see all the people, all the churches to be established, to make a spiritual progress. I want to see them, I don't want to see them in the same condition, and I want to see them growing day by day, step by step, to progress. That is the whole purpose. That's why he says, you know, many places he says, he writes to different churches and he says, in Paul, he says in Romans chapter 16, Romans 16 verse 25, he says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long age past." He says, he is able to establish you. And he says to Philippians that I am confident that he who began a good work in you will complete it. And he says, I'm happy to feel this way because I have you in my heart. And he does so many things. He rejoices over them. Whenever he sees, he rejoices over them. He says to the Philippian churches, "You are my joy and my crown." What is that? That when he sees his church growing up, when he sees the progress, when he sees the development, that is the joy. That is the whole purpose of instruction. He's not only wrote to the churches, he also wrote to some individuals, some young people. He wants to see some of the young people to grow up and blossom in the Lord and to be established in faith and to be rooted and grounded in God's love. We read here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 it says, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith." That is what Paul wants to see, that he see the progress, he see the development in the church. And he says, continue on to Timothy. He says Timothy is a young man who was a timid, but the Lord laid hold of him. Paul constantly encouraged him, "Timothy, O man of God, consider what I say. Stir up the gift of God which is in you." And he wants to do, he wants to remind them as often as he can. But the goal is to be established, to progress, to see the development in our life. Even in our church, all these 38 years, when we see the goal is to be established, to see the progress. That's why God, one of the mark of God's being with us, God's love for us, is that he raises up apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds of his own heart, so that we may be established, we may be rooted and grounded in God's love. That is the purpose of God, that he wants to lead us to the stability, a stable life. Not only that, He wants us to retain the standards by which we were called, retain the standards by which the church has been born, the church has come. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Then he says, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." God, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Dear brothers and sisters, dear young people, I want to remind you that the treasure has been entrusted to us, that we retain the standard. We see today so much of advancement in technology, so many things, so modern, but yet God's word remain unchanged. The standards remain unchanged. We cannot change it. We cannot modify it according to our requirement. But we can follow. We can retain the standard. We can ask the Lord. He is able to keep us from falling. And he says, "I am confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you will complete until the day of Christ." I believe that is why Paul keep on writing to them, keep on encouraging them to see that they grow up. You see the stability and growth and development in each one of them. And that is what our church, our shepherds desire, that we grow up, that we may be built up, that we may be blessing. You know, when Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," what does it mean? Did he say that the way I built the church, the way I gave gospel, did you follow me? Did he say that? No. I believe that he said, "Follow me the way I, the way my life, follow me the faith which I have received, follow me the principles, the values for which I stood." I believe that is the call for us today, that we follow the instructions, that we follow the principles and values for which the church has been built, that we retain the standard. We don't go for a substandard life. We don't go for a mediocre life, but we can live for God. We can count for God. One life on earth, especially young people, when we come up, another generation, that we may be signs and wonders for the Lord. That's what God wants to do in our life. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, God has not given you spirit of timidity. Let not the timidity or anything can hold you back. Stir up the gift of God which is in you." I believe that God calling us as we celebrate, as we give thanks to the Lord, that the way that we have received the instruction, one of the mark of receiving growth and development, being established, that we overflow with gratitude. That's what we can see. You know, when we look back, how God has blessed us each time when we gave. He gave us a word, that we don't go back with it was a good message. But to have that can come into our life, that can work in us, that can change us. That's what God wants to do us. Paul saw in his time many young people coming up. Timothy, Titus, Onesiphorus, Philemon, and Onesimus, many young people. And his heart rejoiced. And he was very happy to see them. And every time when he writes a letter to them, each church, he says, "I have you in my heart. I constantly bow before the Father." And he says that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may see the riches and glory. I pray that the Lord would open our eyes, open the eyes of our heart, so that we can see the riches and glory. Thereby we grow into full salvation. Thereby we can be established. Thereby we can build up. Thereby we can rooted and grounded in God's love. That's what God's desire, that He wants us to grow in Him. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. "Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." We heard that verse. that we have received a kingdom of God, unshakable kingdom, so we can overflow with gratitude. You know, Simon Peter says that, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a bond servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. We have received a kind of faith which our leaders want to impart us, that they want to pass it on to us, that we can carry on a faith, not to the works, but to have a faith, same kind of faith, same kind of values, same kind of principles, and we can go on from glory to glory. That's the God's will. That is what God wants to do. You know, Hebrews 13 verse 7, it says, Hebrews 13 verse 7, it says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, and imitate their faith. We are called here to imitate the faith, that we may receive the same kind of faith, that we may be established, that we don't be in the same place to be stagnated and live a substandard life. Rather, He wants us to grow in Him in every aspect, imitating the faith of those who spoke the word of God to us. And verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Let them do this with joy and not with a grief. I believe that God, one day when we stand in the judgment of Jesus Christ, young people, I want to remind you that our elders, they have to give an account of us. Let them do it with joy, not with a grief. Oh, that we may bring joy to God's heart and bring joy to our people, the shepherds who spoke the word of God to us. That's the will of God. That is what Paul wants to see, that he wants to have a delight and joy when he see the churches growing up, when he see the people growing up. And same here in CFC, when we grow up, when we rooted and grounded in God's love, it brings joy to God's heart and also to the people who spoke the word of God to us. And when we stand before the Lord and they give with joy, not with a grief. May God help us. May God help us. May God stir up that He may put a desire in our heart. Lord, I don't want to live this life. I want to grow up. I want to grow up and I want to be established in faith. And I want to walk this way. Help me, Lord. I believe that God wants to do us. Like Paul said, I'm confident of this very thing. He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. When I open myself, when I ask the Holy Spirit to come into my heart, He will work in me and He will help me to grow and to be established. And He will give me a stability and we can see the growth and development. Let your progress be evident to all. That's what Paul says. God will do that in us when we do that, when we open ourselves. It says in Hebrews 2, for this reason, we must pay much close attention for what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. I want to read again. For this reason, we must pay much close attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through the angels provided unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just a penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who have heard. And we have received not just empty words, received from the life who lived before us, who were examples to us. Let us make their heart joy. You know, one of the things when I was thinking, when Paul said, you are my joy and my crown, I believe that when somebody would have asked him, Paul, what is your happiness, what is your joy? And he says, these are my people, they are my happiness, they are my crown, they are my joy. When they grow up, when I see the stability, when I see the development, when I see the spiritual progress, That is the joy, and that is my crown. I believe, may we give a joy to God's heart and also to the shepherds and the crown, and that they may rejoice over us, that they may see the growth and development. May we make it a prayer in our heart this year that, Lord, make me more and more thankful. Like we, when we are ungrateful, that shows clearly that we are not progressing and we are not established in the faith. But God wants to make us a grateful people where we can see the progress and development. We value the ones who washed our feet every time when we came with the dirty, that they washed always. They were available for us. Young people, let's not forget. Let's take it to heart. I want to say, retain the standard, like Paul said to Timothy, retain the standard. And I want to go that way where we can retain the standard, we can carry on the baton, which we can take it forward and we can live for the Lord. God wants to do that. When we see our life, way back the Lord spoke to me from Isaiah 35. You know, that chapter begins with wilderness, how wilderness getting converted. And then, like we heard from Brother Suresh, that the Lord wants to make a highway. In the wilderness, when we see our life like a wilderness, when we see the hardness, when we see so much of unchristlikeness, and we can open ourselves, Lord, make an highway in my heart. God can do that. God can do that. I pray that, like that song says, Lord, lift me high and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. God wants to lead us to the stable land where we can stand erect, not to be shaky. Let's finish with the shaky life. God wants to do that. He is able to do it for us when we open ourselves, when we say, Lord, help me. And He will convert the wilderness into highway. May God help us.
So we've been blessed by hearing about these highways that these brothers have spoken about. And, you know, I grew up in New Delhi, and traveling long distances was no fun at all because there were so many traffic snarls. There were so many traffic, it was messy traffic snarls. There were snarling people. It made people also snarl. I was snarling myself. It was no fun. But then the government made these highways all across Delhi, and but by that time I was already over here in Bangalore in CFC, so I missed those highways. You know, I missed traveling on them. But then I was directed to one really, really good highway, the highway. And anybody know which highway I'm talking about? Sorry, no snarling people on that highway. Nobody saying, argh. It's a beautiful highway to travel on. It says there's a highway that will be there, a roadway. It will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. It will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion there. No vicious beast will go upon it. And these will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return, come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy on their heads, and they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Praise God for the highway that we've been directed to in the teaching that we received over here at CFC through the elders and through our brother Zach, and all the other brothers and sisters who share, who blessed us so much. So we'd like to sing a song about the choir, and would like to sing a song about the holy highway, and we'd like to bless you with that song. So choir, would you please come up over here? Let's sing that song.
There's a road called the Holy Highway that runs towards the desert land. Very soon you'll hear the sound of a holy marching band. Everlasting joy upon them. There's a remnant strong and true. We bring the song back to Zion. We bring the praise back to you.
We
Bible instructs us to encourage each other daily, and one way we can be encouraged is when we hear the testimonies of others, when we hear other people saying thank you, we are encouraged. And even as we complete 38 years as a church, I'd like to invite a few folks to testify how God and the church has blessed them. We'd like to hear from them, so I'd like to invite Moses, Shirley, Albert, Selvi, Abraham, Avril, Jabez, Teresa, Tom, and Smriti to come up here in that order, like I mentioned, and testify about how God has blessed you all in this last year that we celebrated as a church.
I really want to thank God and this church and testify of what the church and Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in the last 1 year. Because it's been 364 days, and I want to take this opportunity in this one day to thank God for what He has done. And I want to be specific that what God has done in my life in circumstances that God has sent across in my life, whether it is good or bad. And through these circumstances, I believe that God has, as it says here, He has built me up spiritually to walk with Him daily. And some things, three things that I want to share that God has specifically done in my life. And these things have not been completed. They are not, it's not full in my life, but I can say that it has been, I've come far from what it has been last year. The first thing that I want to share is Jesus has given me faith. He has written faith in my heart and He has removed fear. It was less compared to last year, but in the last 1 year, I believe that God has increased my faith through the circumstances that He has sent through in my life. The second thing is, God has helped me to be merciful to others, because He has shown me how merciful He has been in my life and towards me, so that I should be merciful to others. When I say that, it does, it means that I do not hold grudge or hatred in my heart against others just because they may not be doing the things that I do right. So God has shown me that I need to be merciful to them and release them by not holding on to their lives or holding on something against them. And the third thing is that God will not test me beyond my ability. The third thing is that God will not test me beyond my ability in the circumstances that He put across in my life, whether good or bad, that God will give me the grace as He has done throughout this year, that He will not test me beyond my ability. And these three things God has specifically given me faith and given me the boldness to go through the circumstances that He sends across in my life. I know I'm not perfect in these areas, but I believe and I prophesy that it will become more and more blessed, and it will become more and more enriching in my life and in the walk with Jesus, that I hold on to Him and not be weary and shaking. Yes, but I still do lack in something, which is love, which I believe that God will pour His love into my heart. And next year when I stand, I believe and prophesy that I will be prophesying that God has done a great work of love in me, and that His love that He will pour into my heart, I will share with others. I believe this, and I testify that, and thank God for doing this in my life. Amen.
Well, to summarize, my last 1 year in 2 minutes is definitely difficult. I will definitely try. Well, the last year this time, I did not know my life would be so drastically changed. I have experienced the Lord's love in so many different ways. Lord's goodness, faithfulness, His mercy. In the most unique ways, when I look back through this journey, I can only say that God carried me through. I could not have done it on my own. His supernatural presence was truly with me. With a constant assurance that what He does, only does for our very best. When I look back today at the biggest loss in my life, I don't comprehend it, but I do know that when I look at it from His perspective, it makes a lot of difference. He has been comforting me throughout. And along the line, the last year has also enabled me to taste the love of church in the most unique way. I had brothers and sisters upholding me. I'm deeply indebted to each one of you here. You prayed for me and for my family. You encouraged me. Your Spirit cheered me up. When I was low, You were there to lift me up. I'm eternally grateful for those SMSs You sent, for emails and the phone calls, for those visits, for those nights that You stayed with me, praying with me. The days when You thought of me, when just to make sure that You're there to give me some rest so that You could take my place instead. And honestly to tell you, it's the church that prepared me to go through the most difficult phase of my life. In the last 13 years that I've been here, the most unique thing that I've learned here is the genuine interest that my shepherds here and many of you have for us to get that close relationship with God. It's nobody draws anybody to themselves, but it's more of a signboard to look up, to relate with Jesus. And if it requires for me to be broken, you would tell it to me. You would be honest. Where else will I get this? Like Brother Suresh was telling about the proper diagnosis. I hear the exact thing that would lift me up every time I come here. It has preserved me from a lot of deception that's going around today. I like the constant exhortation to read the word, because that's what's final. And it's not about some man's idea, it's about what God has to say. And there's constant encouragement for us to keep looking at that. I'm immensely blessed to be part of this local expression of the body of Christ. I continue to pray that this light here that we have received will continue to grow more radiant in the days to come, that we will not lose sight of it. We will not let any kind of compromise to happen to this. I thank my shepherds once again, especially for giving me so much time as you counseled me and instructed me in the Lord's ways. Thank you so much.
Praise God. God is a good God. Our God is a God of restoration. He's able to restore any relationship that we are troubled with. If I acknowledge my fault and confess it to the Lord and ask Him to restore, He restores. That's what happened to me in this year. I'm experiencing this in my relationship with the people in the office, family, and even in the church this year especially. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. Our God is a God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. This is Romans 4:17. And it is true in my life. Our marriage is one area where we are experiencing the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm deeply thankful for that. And I'm deeply thankful for our church, for the true word of God that is being practiced and preached here. This has connected me to the Lord and protected me from danger and deception. I have received all these truths here in this church. I'm thankful. I confess that the Lord will establish me in His love, in His faith, and help me to endure till the end. Amen.
I want to praise God for all His goodness towards me. In the beginning of this year, I received a word from Brother Zach's message that God is preparing me for a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I believe this is what God is doing in my life. There are times often I felt exhausted, that I have come to the end of my own strength, wondering what is happening to me. But in each of those circumstances, God was at work in me. He is still at work in me to remove the things that can be shaken, and He wants to make me complete and clean. Idleness, self-centeredness, unbelief, many more things which are not fit to serve the King. He has strengthened me at all of those circumstances through His love, His Spirit, the Word, and the fellowship. I'm deeply thankful for the Lord for choosing me. Never once He has allowed me to be tempted beyond my ability, and His grace was enough for every circumstances. And I'm thankful to the church for the truth that is being preached here and the lives that match the truth, the fellowship and the godly leadership. I have never experienced this, or I have never known anything of this before. This truth has set me free. It is changing my inside. It is protecting me at all times from going astray. Few truths that have really come true to my life are what God did for Jesus, He'll do for me. What God did for Brother Zach and Sister Annie, He'll do it for me. Jesus was tempted exactly like me in every area, but yet He did not even sin once, and God helped Him to overcome. Being faithful in little things and the practical discipleship. I want to confess my hope that our Lord Jesus Christ will anoint me with His Holy Spirit and establish His faith in my heart. He will reveal Himself to me and help Him to know Him better. He will keep me, and He will cause my heart to overflow with gratitude towards Him and His people. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to testify that I heard the words of life from this pulpit. And I want to testify that this has been my home, my family. As in a family, there are brothers and sisters that whom we look up to. here also it has been spiritually, especially our elder brothers who have been living a life looking at Christ and challenged us also to live a life like this. Many a times the Lord, I've heard the Lord speak from this place. It is as Brother Suresh shared, it is not a man's idea, but we heard the Lord. There are situations when I was troubled in trial or in temptation. I've got answers when I have come here through the word for the week, the Wednesday meetings and the Sunday meetings. And one thing which has always encouraged me is that the word that we hear in this church, that God loves us as He loved Christ. And one specific thing what the Lord spoke to me this past year is how to bring up godly children. There has been situation and times when I had tough time with my children, or I would have got angry with them, or I wouldn't have handled them properly the way the Lord has instructed us, and it would have been a discouragement to me. But when I come here, it would have either been a baptism service or some part of the message which talks about how to bring a godly child. So I praise God for what He is doing here. I thank God. I praise God for His presence here.
I thank God for leading us to this church as a family. I've received the living word from here. It is only because of the word I heard here that my life has been transformed. As in Romans 5, when I was utterly helpless, the Lord lifted me up, gave me repentance, and taught me the way of life. He removed all the filth in me and filled me with His peace and love. And so I will rejoice even if I am sunk in problems. This church has taught me how to build a godly home. And this year our life, our married life, has got better and better. Nowhere else I would have got instructions on how to lead a godly married life. And it's a great blessing to raise up my children in a church where His word lives. And I also wanted to thank all the elders and Uncle Zach for having this mother's room, without which I would not have heard anything for the last 5 years. Praise the Lord.
I'm really grateful to the Lord and His church for protecting and preserving me in His family in this church. I'm so thankful to the elders who preach God's word faithfully every week, which meets a specific need that I have for that week. I was seeking the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and on one Sunday a few months ago, Ian spoke specifically on that, and he showed me that what could be hindering me from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I realized that Sunday that my eyes were open, and the Lord spoke to me that it was because of some bitterness, a slight resentment towards someone, even though I felt that I had actually forgiven them completely, and that was the reason I was not being filled with the Holy Spirit. And many other truths in this church have really blessed me, and it is in this church that I've learned how to be a better husband, how to build a godly home. I'm really thankful to the Lord for that. And one more thing is the words of life that I've heard in this church and the word of the week that we receive every week has really encouraged me. And I really thank the Lord for the ministry that He has given to Newton and the fellowship of with the brothers in the church and the love that the brothers have for me and the encouragement and the correction that I've received here have actually preserved me and helped me draw closer to the Lord. And I'm really indebted to many in this church for this. Thank you.
I would like to share what this church has been to me. It's my church, and I'm ever grateful to the Lord for placing me in this church. I do not deserve so many things what the Lord has blessed me with, and this is one important thing that God has put me in. The words of life spoken from this pulpit by Brother Zach, Brother Ian, and Brother Newton have influenced me so much in my life and changed my life from a very young age, and it has met my specific need. Every week I would come with some need, and God would surprise me, I can say, with speaking exactly what I need. And it has challenged me. The elders have not drawn me ever to themselves. They've challenged me to love the Lord more and to take up my cross daily, which I pray that I will do all the more in the days to come. And the love, the humility, and the wholeheartedness that I have seen in the elders and the brothers and sisters around me has really been an example to me, and it all the more makes me, I see my need to be all the more humble here, and I praise God for that. The times of fellowship that I've enjoyed with so many sisters and the families here, they've accepted me as I am, and I've really learned a lot from them, and I'm really indebted to all of them. The elders here have been fathers to me and my husband, especially since we are just married a year and a half now, and they've advised us, they've corrected us, and they've encouraged us so much. Though we have gone down, though we have fallen badly, they've encouraged us so much, and that we are able to go on this way, and God has preserved us and kept us this way. Really grateful to them. We've been immensely blessed by God, and specifically if I speak about the last year, what God has done for me, God has showed me myself, He's revealed me myself more through the words that were spoken here, and also practically at home, and even through what my partner does, and God has showed me my need, and I'm so grateful to God for that, and I praise God that He's placed me in this living church, and I'm a part of it. Praise God for that.
When I look back, I can surely testify that I could know God and His ways more this last year, and I'm greatly thankful for the church and the elders for guiding me and giving the words of life to me in the past 1 year. One thing which came to me more strongly in the last year was to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we heard, this church was born with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we were continuously encouraged to seek for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And God in His tremendous wisdom brought me a situation in my life where I could do nothing on my strength. The more I tried, it was becoming, it was singing more. So I was in a tremendous issue. I didn't have any clue what to do about it. And God opened my eyes to see that I lacked the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And He baptized me with the power. And now I know I cannot live a life without the power of the Holy Spirit, which is pleasing to God. I thank God for the power and the church for constantly encouraging us to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to thank all the brothers and sisters who has guided me both spiritually and physically in the last year. I am really thankful for the church.
I just want to share what John described as how awesome the experience was in being with and knowing Jesus while Jesus walked on earth as a man. And John said, as he was so overwhelmed, he said, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our own eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our own hands concerning Jesus, this we declare. And I believe just as Jesus was manifest to the disciples, He's been manifest to us in a very real way in His church here. And I know we can say in John's words, what we have heard is, we have heard, and I know I've heard Jesus speaking to me so many times through the word here, time and time again. And what I've seen is Jesus' faithfulness in delivering us from the terrible condition we were in. And not just leaving us to ourselves, but handing us into the hands of elders who've been gentle and firm and had had a very watchful eye over us. And what we have looked at and touched with our own hands is the love of Jesus Himself, which has been expressed through all our brothers and sisters in this church. Some of you may never know how powerful you've communicated the love of Jesus to us with your acceptance in conversations we've had, in your prayer as you've carried us through, but most of all, I think, you know, in your character where you've displayed Jesus to us. And what I've come to cherish most over the last year and what God has been opening my eyes to see is from the elders to the newest believer, His life is so manifest in us, and He's shown us that He lives in our midst.
We are going to have now a brother who I had introduced some time ago on Wednesday, Quentin. This is his last Sunday with us over here before he goes back to the Netherlands. And I would like to invite Quentin to come up here and perhaps even say a goodbye to us. Quentin.
One of the things I was instructed in, what I learned over here, is that God's word is true. It's eternal and it's true. And therefore we have to take it seriously. Everything that God says, He means it. The Bible says in when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is inspired by God. There are theologians who say the Bible contains the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. Jesus knew the scriptures. He believed them. He practiced them. He obeyed them. He lived them out. When he fought with the devil, battled temptation, he said to him, and he quoted from Deuteronomy, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we don't only have a written word, we've got the living word. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken through us, to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. We have a living word. And this word came down out of heaven. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word was made flesh, and it dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, the scriptures, you search the scriptures, in John 5:39, because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it's these who testify about me. And all the scriptures testify about the Lord Jesus, the living Word. And he's our example. He is our Lord. He came down out of heaven and became flesh like one of us. God incarnate in man. You read Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. Speaks about his genealogy. He was born of a descendant of Abraham, of a descendant of David. To Abraham was born Isaac. To Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob, Judah and his brothers. Judah was born Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. He was a direct descendant of David. It's not written there for nothing. It's there to show us that he is the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. In Luke's Gospel chapter 3, he traces the genealogy the other way, back to Adam, to show us that he came as a human being. He's not a myth. And the Bible is not mythology. It's the true, infallible Word of God. And one of the things I was instructed and I heard several times preached in this church was to take it seriously. Take it seriously. So when Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. In Luke 13, he said it twice. Unless you repent, you will perish. Repentance is a foundation. It starts with repentance. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? We have to be righteous. Because Christ is our righteousness. He has become righteousness for us. Paul wrote to the Galatians, says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. As you sow, you will reap. We have to take it seriously. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He lived as a human being among us. The Bible says he was tempted in all things as we are, and yet he never sinned. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. He was heard because of his piety, because of his godly fear. And then he was betrayed by his own disciples, Judas. He didn't err and he didn't come out of love. He says, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved Judas. When Peter denied him, he didn't stop loving him. When the disciples left him and ran away, he didn't stop loving them. He continued loving. He calls us to love. And there he died. He was crucified by godless people. Hung on the cross, bearing our shame, bearing our pain, the indignity, stark naked there for the whole world to see, laughed at and sneered at for our sin. Wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's salvation in no one else. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. There's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we are to be saved. It's through faith in the name of Jesus Christ that we get our salvation, our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only did he die there, 6 hours he hung on the cross from the 3rd hour Roman time to the 9th hour Roman time. And then at the end he gave up the ghost. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And he gave up his spirit. and he was buried. And they thought they had finished with him. But death could not hold him. Because the Bible said, and it's true, thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. And so God raised him up. The Bible says God raised him up. He didn't raise himself, but God raised him from the dead. And on the third day when they came to the grave, he was not there. It was an empty tomb. And he said, he's not here, but he has risen, just as he said. He kept his word. I will rise again and I'll go before you to Galilee. And there he was, 40 days. He appeared to different ones. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. And that's the foundation for our faith. We also hope to attain to a resurrection from the dead. And then he took them to a mountain and he blessed them. And while he was parting from them, he was taken up into heaven. And Acts chapter 1 says, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus you have seen being taken up from you is going to come in exactly the same way. He's going to come back. Behold, he's coming on the clouds and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. He's coming back in exactly the same way as he went up. If we believe the scriptures, we will act in accordance with it. There's a day coming. When Paul preached to the Athenians, he said, God made from one blood every nation of mankind to dwell on all the face of the earth. He determined the appointed times, the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God. And then he goes on further to say in that chapter that this God has fixed the day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. You can read that in Acts 17. There's a day, it's fixed point in time. I was talking with some brothers about our retirement, normal retirement date, our 60th birthday. That's a fixed point in time. With every passing day, we approach that retirement date. God has fixed a day in which he's going to judge the world. And Jesus said in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he's going to sit on his glorious throne with all the angels with him. And he's going to separate all the nations like the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. It's a fixed day. He's coming to judge the world. Brother read that passage. It says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Peter writes in the second epistle, he says, when he's talking about the destruction of the heavens, the universe, burning up, it's all going to be burned up by fire. He says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. Writer to the Hebrews said in Hebrews 9, he says, it's appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So also Christ, having been offered once for the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. Are we taking it seriously? Are we ready for his coming? I want to close with this verse from Luke, this warning that the Lord Jesus gave us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Be on guard. The end of chapter 21 from verse 34. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus is going to come back in glory. Are we ready to meet him? Are we ready to receive him? Will we cry out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus? What I learned and preached several times, those three words, take it seriously.
It's like the Word of God says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And we've heard some very blessed things today. Perhaps there are some among us who are thinking, well, my last year wasn't so great. I don't have so much to be excited about. But God is unchanging. God calls us even today and even now. If we look up to him in faith, and we want to respond in faith to Him. And shall we all unite together? We'll sing this song, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Forget about what lies behind, look forward to the future. Pay heed to what we've heard today, be encouraged, be blessed," because that's God's desire for us. He wants to encourage us, He wants to set our feet on this holy highway. We're pressing on the upward way. "Lord, lift me up, let me stand by faith in heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on the higher ground." Shall we all get together, join together and sing this song of faith and testimony? Will you all stand with us as we sing? Let's sing with faith in our hearts. "I'm pressing on." Yeah, let's clap and sing.
"I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground."
Let's sing it a little slower. "My heart has no,
my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are found, my prayer, my aim is higher ground.
Lord, lift me up,
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. Faith has caused the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I find. Lord, plant my feet to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Chorus again.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
You may be seated, please, brothers and sisters. So we'd like to invite Brother Yen to come and say goodbye to those who are watching live webcast, and even welcome those who are visiting us for the first time, and also pray for the prayers requests.
Yeah, we praise the Lord for this wonderful time, for all these young people that blessed us this morning. And these are only some of them. We don't have time to hear others, but we praise the Lord for His work, and like we heard, He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it till the day of Jesus, and that's our hope. So thank you, dear young people. And like I said, you know, they bless us so much. I can say before God that I've got a lot of, not just understanding and light, just hearing the young people on Wednesday meetings. And like I said, it's even if they don't speak English fluently, and the grammar is poor, but the anointing and the prophetic word they bring has blessed my heart and challenged me, encouraged me. So join us on Wednesdays, and those of you who are watching this live webcast, you go to our website. You can also get the link there where you can listen to the MP3 recording of what is shared on Wednesday, and you can be blessed too. So thank you for being with us, all those who have been watching this live webcast this morning with us. I know that you have been blessed too. And so continue to pray for us as a church. Continue to pray for our young people, that we will go forward from strength to strength and from glory to glory. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you. Thank you for making us the family of God on this earth. Thank you for blessing us. And thank you for young people that you're raising up. The work that you've begun in them, you will perfect, Lord. You will complete. So give them hope and courage, and those for whom it has not gone too well, we pray that, Lord, they will receive fresh encouragement this morning and a challenge that they can begin anew. As you promised, behold, I make all things new. Yes, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're alive. You're coming again in glory, and we want to be ready to meet you, Lord. So lead us on, we pray, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray a spirit of revival will be among us, that we would behold you and behold your glory, and we be changed, Lord. We'll not be the same like we were last year. And every year we would see you lead us from strength to strength and from glory to glory. And so we bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning, and give you thanks. Thank you for those who have led us. We think of Brother Zach and Stanley and their families. We thank you, Lord, for his labor of love among us here. We have been so privileged. We want to really return thanks to you this morning, that we can, Lord, have a shepherd after your own heart. Thank you too for leadership here, and for all our brothers in all the churches, Lord. Bless them too this morning, not only here in India but abroad. Thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to welcome those who are visiting us this morning. You're here for the first time. Kindly stand up. If you're here on the ground floor, on the second floor, or on the first floor. And Lord willing, next year we'll not be having all these people sitting on different floors. We'll all be together as we have our new meeting hall that is heading for completion, we hope, in a few months' time. So kindly stand up. If you're here for the first time, don't feel shy. Please stand up. And we'd like to see you so we can get to meet you, welcome you. Stand up wherever you are. If you're on the second floor, there are brothers there who will greet you, or on the first floor. Thank you for coming and being with us. This is, the book is a token of your visit with us this morning. On the last page of the book is a perforated slip. If you like, you can fill in your personal details and give it in at the book table. Tear it out and give it in the book table at the back. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. We meet again on Wednesday at 6:30. Come if you can. Let's give them a good hand. Please be seated. And there were many who greeted us at this time and passed on greetings. Many who have been in CFC. And I don't have time, but I would like those who... Somebody who's just gone recently from us, Onesimus and Brenda, they wrote a very lovely email saying to Brother Ian and Brother Newton, greetings to you and your family. Trust you're all doing well. We are doing fine by God's grace. We are thankful for the living example that we have seen in your lives. We have been tremendously blessed by your godly leadership, labor of love, sacrifice and time that you and your family and invested in our lives through all the years we were in CFC Bangalore. Although now we are not locally present in Bangalore, we still want to receive your guidance and counsel. Hence we request you to continue to advise and counsel us. Please pray for us whenever you remember. We also wish to convey our greetings to the brothers and sisters there. We especially miss the fellowship. We've been watching the live webcast every week and it has been a tremendous blessing to us. We watched the anniversary Sunday service and we were challenged and edified by the way the Lord Jesus was magnified through message and song. We thank God for the way He has led the church through all these years. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless you all and lead CFC to new heights in the coming years. Thank you very much. With lots of love and regards, Onesimus, Brenda, Sharon and Bartholomew. Yeah, we thank the Lord that they can be in touch with us. Thanks a lot for technology. They watch the live webcast every week with the folk in Switzerland, and there's an Austrian couple watching from Austria, and many others. There's people in Italy who've also come here, and people in the US. Many of them stay up late at night. Many of them get up very early in the morning, and if they're not able to do that, they watch the live recording. So we are... It's not just us here, we are reaching people all over the world who also fellowship with us, who are blessed. So we thank the Lord for many who have written in, many of you who have written in and expressed your appreciation and thanks. We don't have time to read all those emails, but we do thank the Lord for all those living in different parts of the world. I'm going to ask Brother Newton to come and pray for Onesimus, Brenda and family, and all the others there, the folk in England also watch the live webcast or the live recording, keep the fellowship there. So we want to pray for all these, this reach out to many people all over the world. And Quentin and Debbie, like we heard, would be leaving tomorrow morning. We'll ask Newton to pray for them. God will give them a good flight back home and fulfill His purpose through their lives, and let's really return thanks to the Lord. Newton, will you come?
Yeah, we want to praise you and thank you, Lord, for your presence and your word and the fellowship. And we want to especially thank you, Lord, for the way you've led us for the last 38 years, Lord. And our hearts are truly filled with gratitude for the way you've blessed us, encouraged us, and strengthened us. And thank you for the shepherds who have led us, Lord. And thank you for the peace and unity and fellowship amongst us. And Lord, we worship you and thank you this morning. And we want to be grateful to you, Lord. And thank you for the friends who have visited us this morning. We pray that you will bless them. Help them to have a connection with you, Lord. We also want to thank you for Onesimus and Brenda, that you will continue to be with them and encourage them and make them a blessing to others, Lord, in the new place you've taken them. And thank you for Quentin and Debbie, Lord, and the two children you gave them. Thank you for their life and example. And we pray that your Lord mightily anoint them and use them for your glory and make them a greater blessing, Lord. Yes, Lord, we commit them to your hands and give them journey mercies as they go, Lord. And as we sang this morning, we pray, Lord, as a church, lead us to a higher ground than we have found, Lord, into to greater heights, Lord, to greater freedom. Yes, Lord, to fulfill all your good pleasure, Lord. We give you glory, praise, and honor this morning. And we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we also want to pray for any others who are visiting us this morning. Pray that you will bless them. And we ask you that you will lead them higher. We also pray for any who are sick in our midst, Lord, that you will touch them and heal them. Restore their health, Lord. And anybody else who's down and discouraged, you'll strengthen them and encourage them, Lord. We commit them all into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, we're going to close and have a time of refreshment. Stay back and have a time of fellowship with us and some refreshments. We'll not be having the prayer meeting this week. We will have it on another Sunday. We want to encourage you to have fellowship. And I just want to pass on a word to all our young people. You know, it's been on my heart that, and I know as we have shared and Brother Zach has said, and even Newton has challenged the young people here, that we want to be known as a church where there is a prophetic word. Other churches are known for their singing and their music, but we want, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:24 to be true. Like it's been all these 38 years, verses 24 and 25. It says, if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he's convicted by all. He is called to account by all, not just the elders. I hope you notice that. If all prophesy, and an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secret of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. All the years, that's what we've been known for, the prophetic word in this church. It's not fortune-telling. The word of God that's preached, that meets the needs of people. I want to encourage you, young people, as we come to the end of this celebration, that you covet, you earnestly desire to prophesy. Earnestly desire to prophesy. That means you've got to study the word. You've got to meditate. But ask God to give you, every time you speak in this church, not only in the church, but when you speak to others, God would give you a prophetic word. That's what I've done all these years. No other church. I've been a full-time Christian worker. Nobody led me along this path. It's the prophetic word that is missing today among the people of God. And so music and noise and entertainment and performance have substituted the word of God, the prophetic word. Covet to prophesy. That's the word to us. Let's hear an amen to that. Yeah. Okay, meeting's over. We can...